the first chapter from the 26th verse. Luke chapter 1 from verse 26. I will be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Here beginneth the reading of God's word. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angels answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month of her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you because you are El Shaddai, the most high God, El Elyon, with whom all things are possible. I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, come upon us. Let the power of the Most High overshadow us this morning, now, and let your kingdom be manifest in fuller measure and dimensions. And Heavenly Father, let every gate be lifted up into the heavens and their doors be open and come through. Let the King of Glory come through. I dedicate every life under the sound of my voice to you, that there will be channels to birth the fullness of the expression of your kingdom. So I release the spirit of travail, the spirit of prayer, the spirit of intercession. Amen. That this morning, your word declares that as soon as Zion travailed, she gave birth. I speak to unfulfilled prophecies. I speak to unfulfilled, unmaterialized dreams. I speak to visions of the night that have lingered I speak to prayers that have been prayed even as far back as 10 years ago that have not come to fulfillment yet. That this morning, this moment, they come to fulfillment. This morning, they come to manifestation. That every holy thing you have deposited inside your people all these years, that is in the due season to be birthed, will come forth. Help us, O God. Holy Spirit, we can do nothing without you. So we give you preeminence and submit and surrender to you. Jesus, be exalted and be thou glorified. Raise up testimonies now in this house. Raise up first fruit expressions of what is coming on earth. Right now, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That will be done in King's Court as it is in heaven this day. That will be done in our lives as it is in heaven this day. That will be done through our lives as it is in heaven this day. And that will be done for our lives as it is in heaven this day. For we pray in the name that guarantees answers. The name of him who died and rose triumphant on the third day. Yeshua HaMashiach. And somebody said, amen. Amen. Please be seated in his wonderful presence. I'm very jealous of the time I have left. So I'm going to have to be very quick and compress what will be 12, 15 hours of teaching into a few minutes. So please bear with me. My desire this morning is that God would use me as an instrument of his blessing into your lives. It's been a while since I came here because Pastor Shola couldn't afford a ticket to fly me over. but I can feel there's been such a shift in the atmosphere in this place since the last time I came, and I can feel the presence of God in this place. And I just feel the anointing of God upon his life, and especially his precious wife, Pastor Tumiche. And I really just salute the God in you and praise God for your lives and how far God has brought me and brought you and King's Court. I've been here right from the beginning of King's Court, even before the beginning, while we were all together in Trinity Chapel. And so it is really just marvelous for me to see how far God has brought every single one of you. It's a testimony of the Spirit of God that is moving mightily upon the life of your pastor. Let's give God a clap offering this morning. Just permit me to be myself. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, that the men of Issachar, who were men who had understanding of the times and the seasons, and because they had understanding of the times and the seasons of God, forgive me, I'd like to salute all the pastors. God bless every single one of you, all the leaders. God bless every single one of you. The men of Issachar had understanding of the times and the seasons, and because they had understanding of the times and the seasons of God, they therefore knew what they ought to do. So they were doing the right thing in the right season at the right time. And the Bible says, therefore, they had dominion over their brethren. It's very important for us to understand the times and the seasons that God has ordained. You must understand that God has a calendar and he's working according to his own calendar as well. For instance, when he created the earth in the book of Genesis, the Bible tells us he created the earth in 7 days or seven weeks of years. So one day with the Lord is as 1,000. So we have 7 dispensations, of which we are in the 6th dispensation, the dispensation of grace. The next dispensation will be the millennial rule of Christ on the earth. So, for instance, from Adam to Abraham was 2,000 years. From Abraham to Christ was another 2,000 years. And from Christ to now has been another 2,000 years, making a total of 6,000 years. So we're in the somewhere between the breaking of the millennial day and the end of the 6th day. Hosea 6 put it this way, after 2 days he will raise us up, or he will revive us, and on the third day he will raise us up. And so you've got to understand that we are in a very critical moment as far as the calendar of God is concerned. Jesus is coming back very soon, and God is accelerating everything so that we can come to the fullness of the stature of the measure of Christ in record time, so that God's agenda can unfold and manifest. And the reason why I'm saying all that is because there's a time for everything, a time to be born, a time to die, and there's a season for every purpose under the sun, according to Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1. Now, you've got to understand that where are we in the calendar of God? We have just transitioned from the Hebraic year 5769 into the Hebrew year 5770. Yes? Or we are in 2009 according to the Gregorian calendar. Time will not permit me, but you must understand that the Hebrew calendar and the Gregorian calendar are perfectly syncopated at the moment. For example, if you look at the last Jewish year that just ended last week, which was 5769, when you add 5 plus 7 is 12, plus 6, 18, plus 9, 27, 2 plus 7 is 9. If you go back to one Jewish year, 5768, which would have been 2008, 5 plus 7 is 12, plus 6, 18, plus 8, 26, 2 plus 6 is 8, 2008. You can go down the number scale, you can go up, and you'll find that the Jewish Hebraic calendar and the Gregorian calendar are perfectly aligned and syncopated. So therefore, we understand that being in 2009, 9 is the number of fullness, 9 is a number of completion, 9 is the highest number you can count to without a repetition of the integers between 0 and 9. So 9 denotes fullness and completion. God is bringing things to their fullness. God is bringing things to completion. 9 is the number of judgment in the Bible. You see, I study the Bible in numbers. When you study the scriptures, you will find that each scripture is 49 layers deep. Touch your neighbor and say, how deep are you? And you understand also then, that the Hebrew alphabet, which is the gematria of the Hebrew alphabet, is 5,999. And so you understand that every Hebrew letter had a numerical value. Every Greek letter has a numerical value. And each number means something, because God is a God of numbers, because he's a God of times. And if God is a God of times, then time is marked off by numbers. Can I go a little bit deeper? Mm-hmm. And so 9 is the number of judgment. So we're seeing God's judgment on the earth. For us Christians, it's the fire of refinement to purify us, because the Holy Spirit is not going to bring his fullness into defiled vessels. And 9, anytime you say amen, you are saying 99. And anytime you say 99, you're saying amen, because the gematria of amen is 99. So on and so forth. 9 is the number of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. 9 is also the number of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So God is trying to transition us out of the things of the flesh, from attachment to material things, into things of the Spirit, things of eternal consequence. If there was ever a time that we need to lay down our lives as living sacrifices, holy and presentable to God, this is the hour where you must divorce yourself from the things of the world and be fully and wholly consecrated unto God, so that the fullness of the Spirit of God can indwell us, so that we are walking or being led of the Spirit and not being led of the flesh. And so God is trying to transition us out of the things of the flesh into the things of the Spirit. And he's trying to manifest the fullness of the giftings of the Holy Spirit within us. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And so every gift in you, the Holy Spirit is trying to bring to fullness of expression. Can I go a little bit deeper? And 9 is obviously the number of birthing. So it's not just this month that is a 9, but this year is a 9, and then we're in the 9th month. And so things must come to a head. Now, according to the Hebraic calendar, we have just entered into the Jewish year 5770. Now, when you study that Hebrew word for five, it is he. And that word he means the breath of God. So God wants to release the pneuma, the spirit of God, in to begin to do some deep work in us. But that word seven, when you look at the seven in the Hebrew, according to a Hebrew pictograph, as the, before the letters metamorphosized into what they are today, it is a sword, a double-edged sword with a crown on top. That's seven. And now we're not just dealing with 1 7, because we're in 5770. We're dealing with two sevens. But that word 70 in the Hebrew is ayin, which has the word, the letter has two swords with two crowns. So we're dealing with three crowns and three swords. So you've got to understand that when God has a picture of a sword, then a sword is the word of God, which is the word of truth, that separates, piercing even to the dividing asunder. So God is separating things of the flesh from things of the spirit, things of the righteousness from evil. We're going to begin to see those things at this moment in time. Are you with me? And then you have these crowns. God is looking. The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro, seeking those that he might show himself mighty on behalf. God wants to crown some things. God wants to put his throne on some lives so that there can be an exemplification and a manifestation and a testimony and a witness of things that are about to come upon the earth, the fullness of the expression of God. Can I go a little bit deeper? And so we've got to understand that this is a moment. When you talk about crowns, then we are told that when a baby is about to come out and their head is engaged, it is what? Crowning. So then, according to the Hebrew calendar, we are in a season of crowning. Some things are about to be birthed. And so the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, that to everything there is a time and a season for every purpose under the sun. And so in our text in question, we see two women, Elizabeth and Mary. But we will talk about Mary this morning. The Bible says she has an encounter with the angel, with an angel from the Lord, who gives her a message that God wants to come upon her and inseminate her with seed so that she can birth what? Birth that holy thing, which would be called the Son of God. Are you with me? Now, you've got to understand that the Bible says, and Mary found favor with God. It wasn't that God just doesn't favor people anyhow, because favor is always attached to purpose. Where there is a purpose, then God will give you the favor that you need with people around you to help you to achieve that purpose. So favor then becomes the attraction of God to you that causes people who don't even like you to work with you towards a purpose. Are you listening to me? So you cannot release favor unless there is a purpose. So when Mary had found favor with God, it's because she understood something that nobody else had understood. She was in a unique position. Most of scripture is about positioning. God would always take people, Abraham, position him in Canaan to be a blessing. He would take Joseph, position him in Egypt to be a blessing. He would take Esther, position her in Persia to be a blessing. He would take Daniel, position him. God is about, most of it is about positioning. Now, when we study the last Hebraic year, 5769, that we just crossed from last week, then you understand 5769, if you check it up in 769 in the Strong's Concordance, it is the year of Elijah. Yes, so we are in a season of Elijah. And what was it that Elijah went to do? He went up on Mount Carmel and he got into the birthing position to birth a new season for the kingdom of Israel. So touch three people and say, you've got to get into the birthing position. Can I go a little bit deeper? Yeah, this is a time where you must be in that position. Mary was in this position. The Bible says that at this point in time, God was looking to do a new thing. We were now just coming out of the intertestamental period. We were transitioning from the Old Testament to the New Covenant, from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant. So this was the silent years, the 400 years of silence, called the intertestamental period between Malachi and Matthew. Are you with me? And from that time at Malachi, the children of God had broken their covenant with God, so the windows of heaven were closing. Why did they break their covenant with God? Because they broke their marital covenants. When you break your marital covenant, then you will always inevitably end up breaking your covenant with God. Because if you can break your marital covenant with somebody who you can see, how will you be able to keep a covenant with somebody who you can't see? And so because they broke their marital covenant with their wives, they started breaking their marital covenant with their God, which manifested in their refusal to pay tithes and their robbing God. And so the windows of heaven started to close. So there was no more revelation. God was not sending the seed of revelation into his people. So these were the 400 dark years, intertestamental period, where nothing was happening. God was not speaking. Nothing was moving. Judaism had become stone cold water pot religion. But Mary understood that God wanted to do something significant, that God wanted to move. And so she positioned herself under the window of opportunity. Because the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, to everything there's a time and a season for every purpose under the sun. And that word season, the Greek counterpart is not chronos, but kairos. Chronos refers to chronological time, but kairos refers to a season in which God wants to manifest a particular purpose. She was sensitive to the purpose that God wanted to manifest on earth. She was sensitive to the time. Touch your neighbor and say, you need to know what time it is. Are you with me? So the Bible says there's a time for everything and a season for every purpose. That word is the Hebrew, in the Hebrew is F. And that word F is not a male Hebrew word, but is a female Hebrew word. So I suggest to you that God is using a female term because he wants to suggest something that has to do with a womb. Because anything that's going to come out of the realms of the spirit, anything that's going to come from heaven to earth must be birthed through a womb. Anything that does not come through a womb is illegitimate on earth. So the serpent was cursed because he came onto earth and he bore the body of a serpent rather than coming through the legitimate kingdom protocol way, which was through a womb. So even God himself, when he wanted to step out of eternity into time, he came into a womb as a seed and had to develop from a seed and mature and be birthed into the earth through a womb. Everything that will come from the realms of the spirit into the physical must go through a womb. Time is a womb. Are you with me? So therefore, everything, almost a year ago, God took me into the spirit and I saw mantles of generals of the faith that have gone, that were looking for landing places. I saw thousands of unfulfilled prophecies floating around in the spirit realm. I saw the blessings of people floating around in the spirit realm. Remember, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, in heavenly places, in Christ. And I saw those blessings just floating around in the heavens. I saw dreams that have not found fulfillment floating around in the heaven. I saw visions of the people that God had shown people floating around in the realms of the spirit. Nothing was happening. I could see a few people reaching up into the spirit to grab some of these things. But by and large, the majority of people were just there doing nothing.
So God said to me, I cannot birth the fullness of my purposes on earth. And many people are walking in unfulfilled dreams, unfulfilled visions, unfulfilled prophecies. They're blaming their pastors are liars, the prophets are liars. But it's not about the prophets. It's because you failed to reach into the things of the Spirit and birth those things on earth. Everything needs a landing place. Everything that must come on earth must go through a birthing process. So God spent time teaching us from the book of Genesis all the way to Revelation about how to give birth. Everything that is in the physical has a spiritual counterpart. Even this chair was conceived as an idea from the realms of the spirit, and somebody birthed it into the physical. So the things we see are temporal, and they are made out of things that we do not see. Somebody had to birth everything you see into the earth. Your ideas must go through a process of birthing. The same way a woman will conceive seed, will conceive out of seed of her husband and the egg from her body, and go through a process of 9 months to manifest. Same thing for every rhema God gives you, for every prophecy God gives you, for every dream that comes from God has to go through the same process. Otherwise, you will walk in the stillbirth of all that was said, and you won't see the performance of it because you didn't know what to do to bring it out of the spirit and land it on earth. Can I go a little bit deeper? Understand that our God is a seed God. Anytime he does anything, he always starts with a seed or a sperm. That word seed comes from a Greek word sperm. Are you listening to me? The kingdom of heaven is as a mustard seed. The thing about the mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is planted in the ground and it goes through a death process and then a germination process and it develops into maturity, it becomes the biggest of all trees. Heaven never does anything big. It always starts off small. So even though thy beginnings are small, great can be your latter end. So despise not the day of small beginnings. Are you with me? And so heaven works with seed. When God created the earth, he created it with a word of seed, the incorruptible word of God. We receive the engrafted seed, which is the incorruptible word of God. He started with a seed, and everything reproduced after his own kind. He didn't just plant vegetation, boom. He planted one tree, and one tree became two. Two trees became three by the reproduction of the seed of the tree. So he started with one body, a body called Adam. Adam was both male and female. He had the female and the male characteristics in one body. Adam was a species. He was not a man. And he was made in the likeness of the image of God. And if he was made in the likeness of the image of God, then God is both male and female. What has happened is that the male, because of the prophecy of God to Eve, that her seed will bruise the head of the serpent. Female, the female expression of God has been reduced to a place, relegated to a place of inferiority because the devil made sure that he will stigmatize woman. And so man, or the male expression of God, has found prominence to by and large, the detriment of the female expression of God. And because four scales are an abomination to God, but equal weights are his delight, God is making room now for the female expression of God to rise up, to come to power with the male expression of God, so that God himself can be complete. Can I go deeper? So we see in this hour that God is using and lifting up the female expression of himself on the earth. So anytime God was about to do a new thing, it was women he used. Rahab opened the gateway to the promised land. Yes. Ruth was under a curse, but she brought redemption by being married to Boaz and became a grandparent of Jesus. When it was the 400 silent years, when the angel went to Zacharias, Zacharias could not conceive this plan that God had. So the angel had to shut the mouth of man and go and find the female expression of himself, who know how to conceive seed better than the men. Because to conceive means to take in. Are you listening to me? And so God used two women to birth a move of God, to birth the new covenant, to birth the fullness of expression of truth, to birth the fullness of righteousness on earth. When Jesus died, the disciples were hiding. It was a woman that was at the tomb. It was when God was doing a new thing on resurrection, it was a woman that he preached the first resurrection message to. And he told that woman to go and preach to his own apostles and tell them, I am risen. It was a woman. So we see so many patterns in scripture of what is happening in this time. Can I go a little bit deeper? And so Mary found favor with God, and the angel comes to Mary and tells Mary, because Mary has been positioned under an earth window of time, she understood that God wanted to do something significant on earth. Every Jewish woman's hope, oh God, help me. What time must we close? 10:50. Every Jewish woman's hope was when she married that she'll be the one to birth the Messiah. So they all became or strived for righteousness. They were all women of prayer. They all became intercessors because they wanted to be the one that God will single out to birth the Messiah on earth. So Mary positioned, she captures the mind of Christ. She captures the burden of God for the hour. And she positions herself and says, God, for you to express yourself on earth, I am making myself available to be the birth canal to birth your purposes. Understand that it was not about birthing Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was a movement. She was birthing the next move of the Spirit of God on the earth. Jesus Christ was the fullness of the expression of truth. She was birthing the fullness of the expression of truth. Is there anybody that wants to stand for truth in this hour? Are you listening to me? And her counterpart, her cousin Elizabeth, was birthing her intercession, a necessary life of repentance. Because John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of the runner, came and his message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So Elizabeth was an intercessor praying for repentance to come on earth. And because she made herself available through her intercession, praying for the manifestation of the kingdom, she was available to God. And God used her to birth the forerunner of the runner himself. Mary was available. She captured the mind of God. She knew that something Judaism had petered out. There was no power in the church anymore. The church was religious, and she understood this thing, and she said, God, I am available. I position myself under the window of your purpose to apprehend and conceive of your purpose and birth the manifestation of it on earth. It's not about your promotion. It's not about your marriage. It's not about you getting a job. It's about birthing the manifestation of the kingdom of God. Is there anybody that wants to make themselves available to God to birth the manifestation of his kingdom, to birth the next move of the Spirit of God into the church, to birth righteousness on earth, to birth repentance, to birth the fullness of the expression of truth? Please be seated. This is just the introduction. You may have to stay for the second service. I don't know how we're going to do it, but I know I can't finish in 5 minutes if God's purpose is going to be served this morning. Can I go a little bit deeper? So the first thing you have to understand is when the Holy Ghost, when the angel spoke to her, the angel said, you will conceive seed, you will take in. And she said, be it to me according to the word. She knew how to receive. Most of the church don't know how to receive. She agreed with what heaven was saying and heaven's purpose for that time. You must know prophetic. I'm tired of prophets who just come and tell you your car number, your passport number, the devil was going to kill you on this date, and don't tell you what the mind of God is and the calendar of God. Bring me a prophet who will tell me what the calendar of God is. That's a real prophet. Are you listening to me? Here she is. She takes in the seed. Be it unto me. She begins to work and allow that seed to incubate inside her. And there was a price. How is she going to explain to her husband that the Holy Ghost impregnated her? She would have been, the price was that she would have been stoned to death because she was pregnant without marriage and not by her husband. So the death penalty was on her life. And some of you are binding the spirit of death, not knowing that God is using the spirit of death to bring life. Are you listening to me? There was a lot of things, her whole life changed. But she took in seed. When a woman takes in seed, sooner or later things begin to change. Her body begins to change. After about, the first thing is morning sickness. And you realize, why am I feeling sick every morning? The reason why you're feeling sick is because God is trying to get some things out of your life that are defiling his presence. So when you're most sick, you're regurgitating katakata that you have put inside your life. Because God cannot birth his purposes with unholy vessels or unrighteous vessels. Mary, Zacharias, and Elizabeth were both righteous in the eyes of God. If you want to birth some stuff on earth for the kingdom, then God has to find you righteous. So the morning sickness begins. Then the woman's body begins to change. Her nose begins to expand. The body begins to expand. At that moment in your life, when you're pregnant with something, God begins to change everything around you. When you come to church, you don't want to run with the same people that you've been seeing every Sunday because there's something, you're pregnant. You can't run with everybody. Elizabeth hid herself for 5 months. Are you listening to me? She hid herself because her whole life was changing. There was purpose. She was impregnated with purpose. And so you come to church, and some of you will have to leave some of the churches you go to because the pastor is just preaching a word that is not relevant to the direction or the prophetic environment that God is incubating inside you. And the thing about a woman when she's pregnant is all of a sudden her taste changes. Her desires change. Now, instead of eating jollof rice, she doesn't want jollof rice. She wants Chinese. And she'll wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, I want Chinese. And woe to you, husband, if you don't get up and find a Chinese restaurant at 2 o'clock in the morning. Because your diet has changed. When you have a prophetic word, whether a vision or a dream, you have to begin to incubate that prophetic word with the word of God. If it's a word on healing, then you've got to start to study from Genesis to Revelation on healing. And as you study and you take to conceive, means to take in and then to take into in your mind, and then your mind conceives imagination. And imagination takes root in your heart. Then the word of God becomes flesh. It's a process. Everything in the kingdom is process. Sanctification is process. Salvation is a process. We are saved. We are being saved. We shall be saved. And so many people are aborting their pregnancies because they get a prophecy. They don't start to study what the word of God says about that prophecy. The Bible says, and Mary made haste. In the direction, she made haste to Elizabeth's house. She made haste in the direction of the prophecy because the angel told her, your cousin Elizabeth, who was called barren, is now pregnant with child. Can I go deeper? And that means her life made a U-turn. Whatever she was doing before, she stopped. And she started moving in the direction of her prophecy. You've got to move in the direction of your prophecy. You've got to start to study about your prophecy. You've got to study about your dream. What does the Word of God say about it? What is the Word of God talking and manifesting about this thing? And you've got to study it so that that way you're feeding the baby. Every seed needs to be nurtured with the right nutrients to facilitate its growth. And just like you'd water a seed in the ground, you've got to also water it with prayer. You've got to water it with fasting. And you can't go to people who don't know what you're praying about. They will kill your baby. You can't, sometimes you won't even be able to go to your pastor because he doesn't know what you're pregnant with. Mary didn't go to Pastor Zacharias. She went to Elizabeth because they were both birthing similar things. They were birthing the counterpart of one another. They understood. They had a commonality of purpose. Touch your neighbor and say, be careful who you pray with. Pastor Zacharias was in problems. Are you listening to me? You need to be willing to change. God is moving in ways. He's doing a new thing. You stay in the old thing, he'll pass you by. If you don't believe me, ask the children of Israel in the wilderness. They decided they liked Egypt better, so they stayed and died in the wilderness. God raised up a new generation to take the promised land. The old religious order is dead. The way God is going to start doing church is going to change. And if you come to church with your old mindset, you will miss God. Because Judaism is dead. John chapter 3 tells us that. Jesus comes to the wedding feast of Galilee. The water, the wine had what? Run out. And where was the wine? In water pots. Stone cold water pots. Judaism, which symbolized Judaism, it had died. It had become irrelevant to its time and generation. So Jesus said, you make of no effect, but your traditions make the word of God of no effect. Touch your neighbor and say, open your mind. Can I got to stop. But I invite you, we'll get more chairs. Because I haven't even started the message. But I'm bringing you to the time of birthing today. Some of you have had unfulfilled prophecies for so many years, and they've come to their due season. But you never knew how to handle them. Some of you had visions. Some of you, God gave you dreams right from the time you were a child. And you're wondering, why hasn't this dream, or haven't I been able to walk in the manifestation of this dream? Because you never knew how to birth it and what to do to bring it to birthing. Some of you prophets have prayed over you. They've declared, your pastor has spoken words. And the words have been aborted or miscarried in your lives because you never knew how to take them and birth them. But let me say this as I close. And I invite you, if you know that you're pregnant with something and there's something unfulfilled in your life and that God wants to push something out through you, then you need to stay for the second service. I didn't come just to preach. I came to move you into where you need to be. That's my call in life. Everything must be birthed through travail. When a woman comes to the time of birthing, she goes into labor. And when she goes into labor, it's a painful period. The pain you are experiencing in your life in this hour is a sign that God wants to burst something out of you. With many tribulations must we enter, with travail must we enter into the kingdom. So be careful how you bind your pain, because your pain is a sign that you need to push. Because something wants to come out. Even the whole earth is travailing and groaning to birth the manifestation of the sons of God. And if the earth is in travail, then touch your neighbor and say, you better be in travail also. Are you listening to me? Travail is part of the birthing process. At which time, when you go into the labor room and your waters are broken, you need a midwife. The Holy Spirit and I have come to be your midwife today. That by the spirit of travail, you will birth. But we need to go into travail, and there's not enough time. So I implore you, if you know that there is something that God has put in you that needs to come out into birthing, then I implore you to wait for the second service. We'll bring our extra chairs. I came to establish purpose, but not to preach a message. If I wanted to preach a message and get a big honorarium, I would be at John Francis, Bishop John Francis's church preaching right now. Are you listening to me? But this man is my covenant brother. I want to see him succeed. And God has taken me through many things in life and taught me many things through affliction. Affliction is part of the birthing process. If you hate affliction, then you can't be of no use in the kingdom. That's why David said, it's good that I was afflicted, that I may learn his statutes, so I could be pregnant with his word, so I can birth something out. For these light afflictions are but for a moment, but they work a far more exceeding and eternal weight. So if you can't handle light affliction, how can you handle the heavier weight of glory? Affliction is part of the birthing process. Your pain is part of the birthing process. And when that woman goes into labor, she's not debonair. She loses all sense of prim and properness, astuteness. And she's not, certainly not praying, Shandaya, da 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 bo se kere de bo sha. She's not praying like that. In fact, she can't even pray. She's screaming, she's crying, she's groaning. And if she's a Yoruba woman, she's shouting, Egbamio, Jesu. Are you listening to me? The Bible says, the Spirit himself helpeth our infirmities. For we know not how to pray as we ought, but with groanings that cannot be uttered. It means that at that level, there's a place of travail in God where tongues cannot describe, cannot express, and cannot do the job. Groanings that cannot be what? Uttered. You lose utterance. Tongues are utterance out of your mouth. But when you are in a place of travail of soul, it's coming from here. Because God said, out of your womb shall flow rivers of living water. That word out of your belly means matrix or womb. And you come to a place of travail of soul where you have an encounter with God. And you don't know what is happening to you. But your body is retching. You're groaning. You're crying. You're shouting. Travail means to shout. The man that was blind, he said, thou son of David. That word, the Greek word there meant travail. Have mercy upon me. He was in travail of soul. He was crying out and shouting. Because at that level, there are no tongues. Words cannot express. It's coming from here. With groanings. We're going there in the second service. And if you know, you see, you're pregnant. You know that. And it's time for you to deliver tonight. So you better stay. I can see in the spirit, you're pregnant. So I command you to stay. And there's some of you that have come, that are in your due season. Please stay, so that God can use me to help you break through and birth. You can never break through without a birthing. It's impossible. Breakthrough must be birthed. What did I say? Breakthrough must be birthed. How do I know that? Judah, Tamar had two sons. One was called Perez and the other Zerah. When the Hebrews always prayed, Ruth chapter 4 verse 11, I think, they always prayed, may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. Perez means to birth a breakthrough, a breach. When a baby crowns, it's breaching, to break out. Perez means breakthrough. Are you listening to me? Whenever breakthrough has to come, it has to come out of a womb. So Tamar, who means firm, resolute, a woman who knew how to press, who knew how to push, because when it's time to deliver a baby, you better know how to push. The Bible says that Zerah stretched out his hand. The midwife put a scarlet thread, but Perez pulled him back probably, and Perez came out first, because Perez means to break through, and Zerah means so that the light or the glory of God can shine on you. So you can never see glory or light unless breakthrough has been birthed, because Zerah always comes after Perez. Tamar means firm, a woman who knows how to push. She was given a word, and people tried to abort the word. Judah gave her a word that, wait in your father's house, when my youngest son grows up, he will marry you. Because God had ordained that Tamar would come into the lineage of Jesus and birth one of the grandparents of Jesus. Yes? The two sons of Judah were wicked, so God slew the first one. The second one, listen. The second one was who? Onan. He aborted his seed. He spilled his seed on the ground. Touch the man next and say, don't spill your seed on the ground anymore. He spilled his seed on the ground, thereby aborting the purpose of Jesus Christ. Because he was supposed to, the lineage of Jesus Christ was through Judah. So by spilling on his seed, he deliberately aborted the coming of Jesus, tried to abort the coming of Jesus Christ. So God had to kill him. Are you listening to me? And so there was a prophetic word looking for expression and fulfillment. And Tamar was pregnant with that prophetic word. But Judah gave her word, wait in your father's house till my oldest son. When the oldest son grew up, Judah forgot about the prophecy and the word he spoke. But because the word is spirit and life, it was looking for somebody, even if the person was going to pretend to be a prostitute. And so, she dressed up as a prostitute because she was pushing. She was in travail because of the enemy trying to abort the purpose. And so, Judah had sex with her. Let me leave you with this. When praise met the injustice that Tamar endured, it birthed Perez, breakthrough. And after breakthrough came glory. When you can praise God in the midst of your tribulations, and not just praise as an act, but praise as an attitude. When your life becomes a praise to God. You see, there's something called praising God. That's mouth service. God doesn't want mouth service, lip service. But when your life becomes an altar of praise, and your attitude in calamity is still an attitude of joy and praise, and your life becomes an altar of praise on the earth, it will birth your breakthrough. Perez. I got to stop here. We'll continue.
Amen. Come on, let's give glory to God for that word. Give him glory. Give him glory. Let's appreciate God. Let's appreciate the anointing upon the life of Pastor Yemi. Give him glory. Hallelujah. Give him glory. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Amen. Like Pastor Yemi said, he's going to continue during the second service. Now, I'd like to encourage as many people as possible, if you can, to wait. Ideally, it would have been nice for him to continue, but I realize that there are some people that need to go and some people need to come in. So, but I'd like to encourage you. We'll make a short break. Amen. If we bring out your offering, we won't take it. I'm not going to take any passage. Just bring out your money and pay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. If you're writing out a check, can you make it payable to King's Court Chapel, please? King's Court Chapel. Amen. Have you written out your offering? Praise God. Amen. Amen. Are you ready? Yeah. Okay. Can we just make it short? Yeah. Amen. Let's rise up to give our offering. Let's rise up. Amen.
Oh Lord, I wanna sing your praises. I wanna praise your name. Oh Lord, I wanna sing your praises. I wanna praise your name. Oh Lord, I wanna sing your praises.